So John chapter 11 and verse 11. These things said he, that's Jesus, and he's speaking to his disciples. And after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taken of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. If we turn over to verse 38, it continues with these words, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. In this record of a historical event, we have one man, Lazarus, who is dead. And we see how the Lord Jesus Christ comes and raises him from the dead. And in this, we also see a picture of the state of every single person who has not put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the reality is tonight that if you haven't put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if there hasn't been that moment, if that hasn't been that day when you knelt down before the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sin and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then, like Lazarus, who was physically dead, you are spiritually dead. And you see, when Jesus said, we go to one who is asleep, and the disciples misunderstood him and thought he was just speaking of sleep. The reality is you can misunderstand the reality and the awfulness of your state. You can think that, well, I can come along to a meeting and everything's going to be all right. But the reality is that Jesus tonight would say that you're spiritually dead. That is the desperate state that you find yourself in tonight. And that death that he is talking about is a separation from God. That's how serious it is. It is you standing here and being separate from God, who is real and who is all powerful. And that death is also means this. It means that you're incapable of doing anything to please God. Here you are in that state of utter death. And you can have lived a life where you think, well, I'm not that bad. Maybe you've lived a life and said, well, I come to the meetings. Maybe you've lived a life and maybe you've even prayed. And you're fine. And in that state, Jesus will still say to you, you are spiritually dead. And that's how you find yourself tonight. You're spiritually dead, separate from God, unable to do anything to please him. And it also says that he'd been in the grave 4 days. He'd been in the grave a long time. And it says that because of that, he would stink. And because he'd been in the grave such a long time. That's the reality of it. And you know, because of your spiritual state, because of your sin, God says that sin is something that he finds so terrible and so awful that it's like a great stink coming up to him. That's how terrible sin is. You see, so often we pass over sin. We say sin doesn't matter. We say, well, everybody sins. Doesn't my neighbour sin? Doesn't my friend sin? Don't my family sin? Everybody sins. And that is right. Everybody does sin. Everybody is a sinner. But that sin is a stink to God. That is how awful sin is. That he considers the sin that you commit as being a stink to him. And it's also something that is terrible because it affects everybody around us. When we sin, it affects everybody that we come into contact with. When we lie, it affects someone else. When we steal, it affects somebody else. When we gossip, it affects somebody else. All of these things affect everybody that we come into contact with. And that is how awful sin is. And sin is the consequence and the very thing that separates us. It's the very thing that separates us from God. And being separate from God, we just carry on sinning. We just carry on sinning. It's all caught up in that being separate from God. And it also says of Lazarus that he was bound, and in verse 44 it says that he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face bound about with a napkin. And you see tonight that you are bound if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're bound by guilt, even if you don't feel any guilt. You may have no thought of any guilt before God. But the reality is that because you're separate from God, you stand guilty before him, and you are bound by that guilt. Because the only way that you can be set free is when God forgives you. If you commit a crime, you're answerable to the law. You stand before a judge, and then if you're found guilty, you pay the consequences of that crime. And tonight, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're bound, and being bound means you're guilty before God. You stand guilty before him. That's the awfulness of being separate from God. That's the awfulness of your sin, that a stink rises up to God. And that's how he sees your very actions. That's how he sees all that you do. And he says, you'll stand guilty before me. That is how desperate your plight is. And if you cannot recall a moment where you have knelt down before God and cried out for mercy, that is the state that you're in tonight. That's how awful your state is. That God should say of your actions that they stink. And yet, the wonder of it all is that God has made a way that you can be washed clean, that you can be made right with him, and that instead of being one who is spiritually dead, you can be made spiritually alive. In those words, in verse 25, it says this, Jesus says these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in response, Martha says these words, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she spoke that word Christ, she was saying, yes, I believe you're the anointed one. I believe you're the one coming in that has come into the world to die for sinners. The moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you recognize him as the Son of God, as the one who is God, the one who came into the world to die for sinners, the moment you acknowledge him and acknowledge your need and believe that Jesus died for your sin, the moment you put your trust in him, though you were dead, yet you will be made alive. You who were separate from God, you who God said, your very actions are a stink unto me. You who were bound and stand guilty and before me, that God says to you, yet you will be made alive. And that life that he is talking about is fellowship with God. It is about being made clean, washed clean, completely made clean. And suddenly, all that stink will go. You'll be set free. And just as it says of Lazarus, at the end of the passage we read, it says, loose him and let him go. And you see, when you confess your sin to God and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, God says these words. He says, loose him. Loose him, and you are set free, because forgiveness comes, and you're suddenly set free from all those sins that you've ever committed. Those sins that bound you, that guilt that bound you, is suddenly all dealt with, and you are set free. All because of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross when he poured out his life so that you might have life, so that you might have fellowship with God. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. It is that guarantee of spending eternity with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And right at the end, these words come from the lips of Jesus. It says, Lazarus, come forth. He calls to you by name tonight, and he says, come unto me. And I would ask you and appeal to you, if you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you, hear him and respond and say, yes, I will turn to you with my whole heart. I will put my trust in you. I will confess my sin. I will acknowledge my sin, and I will and get right with him. You see, there is a way of freedom from all sin. There is a way of freedom from all guilt. There is a way to have peace with God. There is a way to be right with God. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ who offered up his life for you. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he poured out all his life so that you could have life. He was punished so that you didn't have to be punished. He bore it all, bore all your sin, bore all your shame, bore all that stink of everything that you have ever done, so that you could have fellowship with God. And I would urge you to get right with God, to hear the voice of God as he speaks to your heart, and acknowledge your sin. Maybe for years you've been thinking that you're right with God. Maybe you've spent years never having a thought of God. But tonight, I would urge you to examine your own heart, to realize your state before a holy God, to realize that you are separate from God, to realize the dreadfulness of your own actions, to realize how God sees your actions, to see how you are guilty before God, but to realize that Jesus paid it all when he went to the cross. He laid down his life for you. He made a way for your sin to be washed away, because he is the resurrection and the life. And the person who will humble themselves even though everyone around them, it feels as if everyone around them is ignoring God. The person who will humble themselves and yes, and say, yes, I'm that sinner. I'm the needy one. I believe that Jesus died for me, will be forgiven of all their sin and will know peace with God and spend eternity with him. Amen.
Let's sing 336 in Redemption Hymnal. Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God. Only by his stripes are we healed. Though I've wandered far from his fold, bringing to my heart pain and woe, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, that's the blood of Jesus, and I shall be whiter than snow. 336.
Watch me.